Hello and welcome to another episode of the Publisher Lab. My name is Manny Ramos, aka Producer Manny, and we have no Tyler on today's show, but we do have someone here with me, Jan Kreidenberg. Jan has been with the Azoic team for a while now, but let us know what you do.
Yeah, so I've been working at Azoic for almost 9 years now. So I currently am running our, I'd say kind of our onboarding for smaller publishers. Working with new creators, people that typically are less than 20,000 visits per month to their website. But obviously just trying to, we want the platform to be available to everyone. So, enabling smaller publishers to get started with Azoic, kind of training them, guiding them how to use the platform to the most of their ability. So, it's been a lot of fun. Previous to that, I was working on our account management side. And then I also worked kind of on our sales side as well. So I've dealt with publishers of all sizes, seen a variety of different trends over the years as well. So excited to come on and hopefully share some good insights with you guys.
Awesome. Yeah, we're very excited to have you. I feel like you're going to be able to give us like insights that not a lot of people may have just from your perspective.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
yeah. So definitely a familiar face for some of our publishers here, but let's jump right into it. So we got some AI news this week. Starting off with OpenAI will now let you create videos using verbal cues. So they recently announced the launch of Sora. Now, it's not out yet, so it's still a limited release and only a few people have their hands on it. But some of the videos that came out from the product are insane.
It's pretty impressive what they've been able to do with it.
Yeah, so it's an AI model that was designed to create realistic and imaginative 60-second videos from simple text prompts. Sora stands out for its ability to generate videos featuring multiple characters, specific motions, and intricate backgrounds, all tailored to user interaction or user instructions. OpenAI's goal with Sora is to push the boundaries of AI in solving real-world interaction challenges, building on the success of its widely recognized chatbot. Although Sora showcases remarkable capabilities in video generation, OpenAI acknowledges its current limitations, particularly in managing spatial details and complex cause and effects relationships. To ensure the safe deployment of Sora, OpenAI is engaging with experts to evaluate potential risks, such as misinformation and biases. Initially, Sora will be available to a select group of people, including cybersecurity professionals and creative professionals aiming to refine its functionalities and explore particular or practical applications. Now, from the clips that I saw online, it was so wild to see how much AI has advanced. I think there was a video on social media that was surfacing where it showed a video generation of Will Smith eating spaghetti on one side from a year ago. Yeah. And it was just the most laughable thing, right? And then now it's just looks so incredibly real that it's pretty scary. And I know that it's been something that's been a topic of contention among like all AI, where it's like, is this going to be a problem with misinformation? Is it going to be a problem with, especially with an election coming up? So there's a lot to take away from this going on. But from a publisher perspective, I think that like there has never been a tool that has made it so easy to get into just video content, because it's literally making all the bits and pieces for you.
Right. Yeah. And I see some parallels. I mean, when you think about when ChatGPT came out, like it made it so easy to create a ton of articles really with the click of a button or with a simple prompt. So I feel like this is kind of wave two with the video side of things. It's going to be super powerful. I think with all of this AI advancements, it's important to remember it's a tool set. It's not your kind of silver bullet to, hey, I'm now going to make incredible videos. It's, we've talked about it some. You still have to put in the work and create the video, but it probably allows you to make some really complementary parts or aspects of video in ways that, an individual publisher could never have done before.
Oh, so. Absolutely. And like you mentioned, if someone hasn't gotten into video, this is a great segue to get into it.
Yeah.
And then especially because this is something that's going to affect their EPMV, improve the quality of their traffic, and hopefully improve revenue as well. So what's a great way you think that they can get started using something
like this? I mean, I think we've seen it the last few years, but the way we consume content is totally going towards video. I mean, you think of the younger generation, they spend hours on YouTube where, you know, traditionally it was maybe Google search or something. So yeah, I mean, I think it's really about how do I still make really good content, but use, you know, use these prompts to generate small clips and see if you can put together, you know, I think it'll allow you to put together much more robust and, you know, engaging videos using other tools. I mean, I don't think you can just go and put in a prompt and then you get this 60-second video that's ready to get hundreds of thousands of views. But again, it's, can you use the video or create the videos and then use other tools, Flickify, for example, to, you know, stitch together this generated content along with other information that you want to provide to your audience.
Oh, definitely. And then I think just from an aspect of like royalty-free or not royalty-free, but like where you have to say like get something from like Shutterstock or something,
right,
even just within like the AI generator in Flickify. If sometimes you can't find that video clip you need, let's say you're looking for, I don't know, someone mixing chocolate chips into like a bowl,
right,
or something.
Right.
This is something that's going to be able to recreate that, and it's going to look very real. And now if you combine that with like other segments and other key important information, like boom, you got a great piece of content that's now on your website. So it's going to definitely open some doors.
Yeah. And cutting costs. I mean, the big thing the last 3 years was video is important, but it's just so expensive. And, you know, a small publisher was not going to be able to do that unless they dedicated most of their time to it. But I think this opens up a lot of doors. And I also think, you know, the videos we saw were so impressive and we're just scratching the surface. It's just going to get better and better over the next, you know, 6 to 8 months too.
Oh yeah. My favorite video that came out of that too was someone generated 2 golden retrievers podcasting on top of a mountain.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's so wholesome. That's so wholesome.
Yeah. All the feels.
But sticking with some AI news, but diving into the world of search as well, OpenAI is venturing into the web search arena with a new product leveraging Microsoft's Bing's capability alongside its own advanced technologies. According to the report from The Information, this move builds on OpenAI's repertoire of tools like GPT-Bot and ChatGPT+, which already integrate Bing for web searches. The search engine will be powered by OpenAI's GPT-4 tailored specifically for search functionalities, while the initiative sparks interest in its potential to draw organic traffic and offer benefits to businesses. The prospect of it challenging Google's search market supremacy is met with skepticism. Google's entrenched position, bolstered by habitual user reliance and a history of failing competitors, presents a formidable barrier. This underscored by the stark contrast in traffic, with Google receiving over 50 times the visits of ChatGPT in December. OpenAI's foray into web search signals an ambitious step to expand its technological footprint, yet it faces monumental task of disrupting the established search ecosystem. Now, Tyler was on the show last week, and we talked about how TikTok was nudging their users to create like a home icon of the app for search, because we're starting to see an influx in Gen Z users using TikTok as opposed to Google or Bing or anything else.
Right.
Additionally, we also talked about how in the last year, Microsoft has become one of the biggest companies in the world, overtaking Apple as far as like their stock growth. However, even despite their big investments into AI, they only took a small sliver of the market share that Google still heavily dominates.
Right.
So seeing something like this, it may seem big, but I feel like Google still has such a chokehold on the search market that it's not something that I feel like it should be too much of a concern for publishers. However, in the growing landscape, and we'll talk about this in one of the later stories too, everything is changing, and like the directions from which traffic gets sent to and where it's ending up is definitely changing. And it's not something that's a positive trend for publishers, but it's just something else to take account of, especially with OpenAI. Do you have any takes as far as, like, if you were a publisher, especially one of the smaller publishers you work with, what does this news mean for them?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think you're right. Like, it would be cool. I think we all would be stoked if, if there was a competitor and Google wasn't dominating everything. I don't think this is going to be the solution. Google is so ingrained into, search on our phones and all these other companies to where it's going to be the default, and user behavior is going to take a while to change. But I think the fact that there are going to be different search behaviors, I mean, I think it's an opportunity to look at how you create the content and how you're delivering it to people. One of the big things that I've seen a lot of complaints online or comments in general is content on the internet has, instead of been created for people, it's a lot of the work is done to how do I get it to rank on Google and how do I not manipulate, but play to what they're looking for, which I think in a lot of ways has made content objectively worse at solving the question people are looking for. So kind of just on that, I think people should be looking at, not just with this way of search, but in general, how do people consume content? Do I need to be just going by the book of Google, or can I, take a step back and rethink how I am creating the content and, how I'm structuring it and everything to answer those questions?
Yeah, definitely like quality over quantity. And especially with, as you had mentioned something to me yesterday, where it's like, just because there are now AI tools that will help you write the content and make the job easier for you, that also makes it easier for hundreds and hundreds of publishers.
Exactly.
So how do you make yourself stand out?
Well, and that's, I don't think, again, we talked about, you can't just put a prompt into, ChatGPT, or I know there's AI writing tools out there, but it's not, hey, I paid money to use this tool. Now I put it on my website and wait. It's, that article maybe is 80% of the way there. Once you are seeing it start to rank, well, can you go back and kind of review the content, augment it and make it, more engaging, add new aspects to it and things like that.
In a great video.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's where publishers are going to get ahead, is, leveraging these tools. And I know that, Tyler's probably said it before on here as well, but I kind of think of it as similar to, Excel. It's not going to replace you as a worker, and AI is not going to replace people as workers, but it does make people significantly more efficient and kind of takes out some of the monotonous work and allows you to kind of get to the next level of kind of producing the content and, putting it on your website.
Right. So, the value is from the idea, not so much from how you create the
content. Exactly.
Definitely. Definitely. And then just kind of sticking with the trend of traffic changing and just like a shift in this landscape. A study was done by Gartner, who has forecasted a significant shift in the digital landscape. And they predicted 25% decline in traffic from traditional search engines by 2026. Mm-hmm. And this anticipated change is attributed to the growth preference for generative AI answering machines, such as ChatGPT and Claude, over conventional search methods. The projection underscores the pivotal transformation in how information is sought online, with AI-driven platforms potentially redirecting user search habits. For businesses reliant on search engine traffic for revenue, such as our publishers, mm-hmm. this trend could necessitate a reevaluation of SEO and PPC strategies, alongside concerns over rising advertising costs. While Gartner's predictions offers a glimpse into the future of digital marketing, their speculative nature warrants cautious interpretation. The firm's advisories include a prior warning about decrease in organic search traffic by 2028 and highlight the need for brands to adapt and diversify their marketing approaches in response to evolving AI technology landscapes. A few weeks ago, we had Terrence on the show along with Connor, and we also were discussing about how advertising money that's going into search is increasing.
Right.
So the money is going back into the industry. It's just clearly now there are different directions that that traffic is going to. Therefore, right. the money is going to be dispersed differently.
Right.
Is this something that you're starting to see more and more as like you're working with publishers? Or is it something that's like it's kind of been a slow?
I think it's going to be more of a slow. I mean, we go back to user behavior, and I think yes, there's maybe interest in AI generative, you know, results, but for what things? I think there's certain aspects of search that AI would be really helpful for. I think there's others that it's, you know, almost trying to get too cute. Like some people do just want to go like find a video or, you know, find an article that answers their question. It's not, they don't necessarily want to talk to a chatbot or have, you know, Google return it as AI. So I think that's, it'll be, yeah, over time, user behaviors will change, but it's, I don't think it's anything in the near future. But the other thing that you kind of have to always remember with supply and demand, I mean, the demand is coming. And if supply is going to go down by 20%, well, you know, I would expect those that still get traffic to see an increase in their EPMV or their session revenue, just because those eyeballs are still very valuable.
Definitely. And then to take something that Tyler has said in the past on the show, sometimes I don't want the answer. Sometimes right. I want to find the answer.
Right.
And I know that that kind of sounds like, well, I would want the answer right away, you know, for the instant gratification. But let's say I'm working on a video project, and I know that this is a tangent, but mm-hmm. if I'm working on a video project and I need to create a certain effect or a certain animation, I could probably ask a chatbot to either A, do it for me, mm-hmm. or B, explain to me in text how to do this, where to find something. But sometimes like I need to research,
right.
like I need to figure out why is the effect even working that way in After Effects? Why, you know, how do I get this expression to work properly?
Right.
So sometimes it's a matter of like, I need to find somebody who is posting about this, publishing articles and content, who know what they're talking about. And then kind of feeds into the whole EEAT. So it's like they have authority in the space. They are trustworthy. They clearly have the experience. And through that experience, I then learn.
Right.
Versus a ChatGPT bot who's going to be like, I need an expression to make an animation wiggle. And here's the expression that you're going to use.
Right.
No explanation on why I need it. No explanation how it works. Just this is what it is.
It's, yeah.
So it's definitely like the value of having a blog or a website where people can go find information is still there.
Right.
It's still there.
Yeah.
I think it's just that like short form instant gratification answers, you know, like what are the ingredients in a hamburger?
Right. Well, and the thing, I mean, for publishers on that note, I mean, we've been seeing this for the last 5 to 10 years. I mean, when I first started working here, there were a few websites that, you know, got millions of visits, and it was a time website. So it was just, what's the time in different places around the world? You go and type in like, you know, what's the time in Philippines? Google just puts it on the search results. You know, that traffic's been kind of like eaten away over time. And I think this is just kind of the next evolution of getting those quick answers. But yeah, it's definitely not going to take away from the authorities on a certain subject. And maybe we elevate the level of like knowledge and across the board, so you can have 100 people writing about it versus 10. But a lot of those people have not actually had the experiences. They haven't actually like done it. They're just regurgitating from AI, and that's not
right.
That's not helpful. So
no, definitely not. And I mean, we have a note here regarding like, since you kind of work with a lot of the sites that get approved at Azoic, mm-hmm. you can't really just feed into a get rich quick scheme.
No,
you can't just spin something up or be writing for keywords. You
can't, right, right.
It's about the quality.
Yeah. And over the last year, we've seen a huge boom in, you know, sites make money online or, you know, a lot of about insurance or about lawyers. And it's kind of, oh, well, I've created 10 articles about it, and they're looking at what are the highest paying keywords. Can I throw all this on a website? You're just becoming more and more of like the same as everyone else if you're taking that approach. So Yeah, it's easy for you, but it's easy for every other person out there to do the exact same thing you're doing, unless you're taking your own personal approach and have that idea that separates you from the rest of the people out there creating content.
So. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then we'll just get right into the last story of the day here, too. And this is coming out of the Wall Street Journal, so you know that they do extra research when they write their articles.
Sure.
Traditional search engines face a growing challenge from AI-powered answer machines that provided direct responses to user queries, potentially diminishing the need for traditional search methods. This shift is evidenced by the emergence of platforms like Arc Search, which offers succinct summaries that could lead to the reduction of website traffic. The proliferation of AI-generated content, often of questionable quality, further complicates the effectiveness of conventional search, raising concerns about the credibility and usability of online information. The impact of publishers' business models is significant, with potential revenue losses as AI bypasses traditional website visits. High-profile cases such as the New York Times lawsuit against Microsoft and OpenAI underscore the legal and financial stakes involved. Additionally, the evolution of AI search capabilities could extend to social media and beyond, challenging established players like Google's to innovate and adapt. So this is clearly a big problem that's been happening with websites. We're starting to see traffic being rerouted. Is there any way that a publisher could potentially try to get ahead of something like this? Like to set themselves up for success, to make sure that they have everything, you know, ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I wish I had like a perfect answer on this.
It's a very gray area. It's not black and white.
It's gray, and I think in some ways, like I said before, I think this is going to help clean up the internet a little bit. I mean, you're going to have more and more sites, but Google's in a really tough position right now. I think I see a lot of people like, oh, what you search for, like you're not getting good information. It's hard for them to differentiate AI versus regular content or stuff that's not helpful. I do think that will get better over time. You know, everybody has to adapt to this, not just the publishers, but also search engines and stuff. So, but I do think it's about still creating a good experience for people coming to your website. So if that's making sure that the site is fast, passing core web vitals, loading the most important aspects of the website, that's going to be important. I think what we talked about right before, it's people are still going to want to learn and understand from people that are in authorities in it. So it's don't go work on a website where you don't really know anything about it. You need to be like, what is something I'm passionate about? What is something that I actually know a lot about and can speak confidently about, and kind of show that in my own tone.
And I think what you say carries so much merit too, because if, let's say if I'm writing about, I don't know, automobiles, I don't know anything about cars or how to drive one.
Right.
So if I'm writing about that, but I have no prior knowledge to it, but just because it's one of those high ranking keywords,
right,
like I'm not going to add anything to the content. Exactly. It's all going to be very dependent on the AI, versus if I write something about like video production, which I have expertise in, I've been doing it for decades. It's very much like, I feel like I can then contribute, like give anecdotes in the story, explain use cases and case studies in which I use something like that. But it's going to be very reliant on how much someone focuses in and like takes that first draft from AI and then is able to then rework it to make it something completely new, something completely valuable.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like, for me, I'm a huge sports fan. So whenever I think about what website would I create, it's always like, oh, maybe a sports website. But I'm also the first to admit I am not the in-depth analysis about a lot of this stuff. So it's, what I would put out there, like, probably would be a commodity versus like, hey, I have these insights that I've spent time kind of looking at and kind of creating my own opinion. I think, that's just one example, kind of like yours with video production. It's all about how you differentiate yourself from other publishers, and it's the best practices with SEO and everything is important too. But I think at the end of the day, it's just, yeah, how do I create really good, engaging content? And I know Google's always said that. I think people are annoyed because it seems like the algorithms have gotten away from just really good content. But I think it'll go back that direction, and it's really something people should pay attention to, and not put half baked stuff out there, for a lack of better term. So,
and I mean, speaking on that same half baked terminology, it's like another thing that we should really talk about that I feel like doesn't get talked about a lot with AI. It's like I hear it sprinkled here and there often, but hallucinations are actually a big problem.
Absolutely.
We didn't include it on the docket this week, but there was a story that came out that was Air Canada lost a lawsuit.
Right.
Because they were using AI to publish their policies, or they had an AI chatbot, mm-hmm. something along those lines. And when people were talking with the AI chatbot, it kept hallucinating policies that weren't real.
Right.
So they ended up having a lot of issues and ultimately got sued for that. So that's another thing that if you're using AI to create your content, please review it.
Yeah.
Please review it, because you could get yourself into a sticky situation, or even worse, like it could potentially affect the quality of your site. It could be the reason that maybe perhaps your core web vitals are getting thrown off. Who knows?
Yeah. And it's, again, I think it's all just like, have a plan and have a methodical approach to whether it's creating content or, creating your own chatbot for your website for visitors. Having a plan, not just, here's 10 things from AI that are really cool, let's throw them on the website. Like, a lot of these ideas are new, and there's really, really creative ways that people are finding to use the AI, but I don't think it's just a plug and play and you're good to go. So.
Awesome. Well, I want to say thanks for being on the show with me this week.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, it's been great. We'd love to have you back.
I think, sign me up. I'll come back whenever you guys need me.
We got him. It's recorded, so now you're legally obliged to be on the show again. It was great having you this week. If any publishers out there have any questions for Jan, I'm sure he'd love to hear them next time we have him on the show.
Yep.
I'd love to know how everyone is using AI, or if there are any precautions that you guys may have. Aside from that, make sure to check out all of our stuff. We have a great accompanying blog to this called The Publishing Pulse. You can find everything on publisherlab.org. You could also check everything out, all of our products, on azoic.com. But for Jan Kreidenberg, my name is Manny Ramos. See you next time.
Thanks, guys.